And now open the Word of God with me to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 11. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 11. We'll be reading verses 1 through 4 as we continue our series on the Lord's Prayer. We'll be looking particularly today at verse 3, give us day by day our daily bread as we think about praying for our daily provision. So in Luke chapter 11, we'll begin reading in verse 1, and we'll read through verse 13 for context. Hear now the word of our God in Luke 11, beginning in verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? As far as the reading of God's holy word, let us pray. Our God, thank you that you have not left us without your word, that you have spoken to us even this day. Now, as we have heard your word and as we think upon these things, we ask that you would work these truths deeply in our hearts, that we might store them up in our minds, that we might have a greater faith in you and what you have promised to us as your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I know that many of you, probably most of you here, now I'm not talking to some of you children, or maybe even some of you high school students, but most of you have filed taxes. Taxes. And don't worry, if you haven't filed taxes, you'll probably get the opportunity to do so. You file taxes. And when you file your taxes, one of the questions that is asked is a question that you must answer, and that is, how many dependents are you claiming? How many dependents are you claiming? Now, a dependent is one who, as the word says, depends upon you to provide for them, who cannot, if they were just left to their own, provide for themselves. So normally that involves children who are minors, who are living in the home. It could involve others, though. You claim them as dependents because they cannot take care of themselves. Now, God does not file taxes. God does not need to file taxes. God owns everything. But if God were to file taxes, He would be able to claim every single person ever in existence, wouldn't He? Because who does not depend upon God? No. Every person who has ever lived is a dependent upon God. for everything. That means all of you are dependent upon God. Now, this can be a hard truth to accept because if we're honest with ourselves, we don't want to be dependent on anyone. In fact, our culture teaches us, don't be dependent on anyone. Our parents raise us, don't they? Be independent. And you parents know that. You're praying for it, some of you. Oh, I pray that my children would become independent. And some of you whose children are becoming independent, you're thinking, is this really happening? The thing that I've taught them, go out, be independent. And it's happening. And our culture tells us, you can do anything, you don't need anyone. You're independent. And because of this, we've been conditioned to think this way, that we are independent, and it may lead us to pray this prayer, give us day by day our daily bread with simply a nod to God. Well, yes, God, give me this day my daily bread, but I'm pretty independent and I can take care of myself. So I'll pray this, not really thinking I need to, but I'll pray it because you commanded me to. And somewhere in the back of our mind we think, yeah, okay, God provides everything. But when the rubber meets the road, who do we thank for it? Who do we praise for it? We pray with this nod to God, but we live our lives as if we really don't need Him to answer. Because we're doing just fine on our own. We can take care of ourselves. Now, it's a good thing that we raise our children to become independent of us as earthly parents, but it is a horrible thing if that teaches our children to become independent of God, their Father, in heaven. Because we never become independent of God, our Father in heaven, do we? No, our children will not, and certainly we will not. This is a lesson they must learn. This is a lesson that we must continually apply in our lives, as the text says here, day by day. What Jesus is teaching here. Jesus has been asked by His disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus is willing. School is in session. And guess who is lecturing? The Master of Prayer. The Master of Prayer. The Lord Jesus Himself. So we better listen up. We better learn well, for we are in the school of Christ. We are learning from Him. Jesus has already taught His disciples and us who we are to address our Father in heaven, what we are to ask for, that His name be glorified, that His kingdom come, that His will be done. In other words, that we are to place His name, His kingdom, and His will above everything else, knowing that when we seek His kingdom, all of these other things that we need will be added to us. But He comes first. And it's only after we have rightly sought God's kingdom and everything that is to do with Him that we are free to ask for our personal needs. And it's interesting that the first personal need listed here is not forgiveness. Now you would think, well, shouldn't it be forgiveness? Shouldn't forgiveness come first? But here, it's not forgiveness, but food. This teaches us some things, but it does teach us that God cares for our body as well as our soul, for He has purchased both, and we are not our own body and soul, but we belong to our faithful Savior Jesus Christ. So yes, we are going to be called upon to ask for forgiveness. Yes, we are going to be called upon to pray for protection from evil. But God desires that we live. In fact, we cannot repent and seek forgiveness if we're dead. We can't do it if we're dead spiritually, and we certainly can't do it if we're dead physically. So God provides for us so that we might do His will. And when we ask God to give us day by day our daily bread, what we are admitting is that we are completely dependent upon God. And that God must provide through His strength what we cannot obtain in our weakness. That's the key. God must provide in His strength what we cannot obtain in our weakness. And so when we pray this prayer, when we pray for our daily provision, we're praying a prayer admitting our weakness, but then also a prayer trusting in God's strength. And you really won't come to trust in God's strength until you admit your weakness, will you? Because you'll think, I've got this under control. There's no difficulty. I don't need God's strength because I'm strong. But no, we must recognize our weakness and then come to God, our strength. And so this is a prayer where we admit our weakness. Give us day by day our daily bread, because guess what? Without you, we don't have it. We are weak as created beings. Let's go back before the fall. We know of our weakness because of the fall and because of the fact that we are sinners, but what about just being created beings? Yes, Adam and Eve had to trust in God to provide prior to the fall. Did Adam plant the garden? No, we read that God was the first gardener. The Lord planted a garden. And that God's garden provided, we read in Genesis chapter 2, what is pleasant to the sight and good for food. God gave the food to man. He said, every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it's yours. I planted it. I made it good for food, and I have given it to you, so much so that on the end of creation, on the sixth day, here's what God says, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast on the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. And when God saw that, everything that He had made, He saw that indeed it was very good. So the reality is that even if we go back to the beginning, we see that as created beings, we are dependent upon God for everything. For everything. We need to admit our weakness as created beings. Not a weakness from sin, but a weakness from the fact that we are just not God. We cannot do these things. But then we have to admit our weakness as fallen beings. You see, after the fall, things became so much more difficult. We read of that in Genesis chapter 3, particularly verses 17 through 19. We read that creation no longer cooperates with us. Cursed is the ground, both thorns and thistles, it shall bring forth for you, says God to man. Providing for ourselves, which was easy, is now very difficult. In toil you shall eat of it, and in the sweat of your face you shall eat. And here's this word, bread. Now Jesus is going to use this word bread here. Give us day by day our daily bread. And what He is not saying is simply that all we need is bread. But He's using this word, as it is used in the Old Testament and elsewhere, as a placeholder for everything that is necessary for this physical life. Now tonight we're going to learn about Jesus who says, I am the bread of life. We're going to learn about the spiritual implications of that. But what Jesus is asking us to pray for here is not for Him as the spiritual bread, that true bread, that manna that truly comes down from heaven, but for our daily needs. Whatever we need. Food, clothing, jobs, housing. All of these things. But it's very difficult now. In toil you shall eat of it, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. And this weakness will last all of the days of our earthly life. All the days of your life, God says, this will happen until you return to the ground, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. And so here, when we look at our weakness, we see that we are weak because we are created beings. Adam and Eve had to depend upon God for everything, and we are weak even now, more so as fallen beings. Is this the way you see yourself? Do you see yourself as weak? Do you see yourself as doubly weak and doubly dependent upon God by the two facts? The one, that you are a created being, and two, that you are a sinner living in a fallen world. Or are you deceiving yourself and living as if you have provided all that you have? Because that's the temptation. I can tell you right now, the temptation and the danger for us is to think we've done it. Speak to you young people, maybe in high school or in college, or who are just now moving out and going out on your own. You move out of mom and dad, you get that first job, you're finally bringing in money. And you think, I've done it. I have done it. I have become independent. All of my hard work has paid off. I am a success. And here's the temptation. Internally, you become proud. You become proud of your gifts, which, by the way, are given to you by God. You become proud of your achievements, which, by the way, were made possible by God. And then outwardly, you may begin to boast of what you have accomplished. You want to make sure that others know about it. Online. Let me post out there. Look at me, look what I've done. Well, I can tell you that that attitude is incompatible with this prayer. That attitude is incompatible with this prayer. Because it does not recognize your weakness, nor does it rely upon God's strength. If you're going to pray this prayer rightly, give us day by day our daily bread, you need to come as a humble beggar. Because that's what you are. You're a beggar. You have absolutely nothing. Hear me. You have absolutely nothing except what God has been pleased to give you. Period. Nothing but what God has been pleased to give you. But here's the good news. God is so pleased to give us, isn't He? God is so pleased to give us what we need. He would not have instructed us to pray, "Give us day by day our daily bread," if He were not willing to do it. And He is. And so we come to God praying this prayer, admitting our weakness, but we also come then after we have acknowledged, "God, I cannot provide for myself. Now, God, provide for me." And so we come praying a prayer, trusting in God's strength. And we can be confident that God will answer. We can be confident that God will answer because of who we are asking. Think about who we are asking. Our Father in heaven, we are speaking to God Himself. Listen to these words from Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16. "The eyes of all look expectantly to You, and You give them their food in due season. You open Your hand, and You satisfy the desire of every living thing." Think about the power of God. The eyes of all, everyone, everything in creation look ultimately to God. And He opens His hand and He satisfies the needs of every living thing. It is our Father that we are praying to. James says that He is the Father of light from whom every good and perfect gift comes. And think of the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. He says, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than the sparrows?" And the answer there is clearly, yes, you are of more value. Yes, you are of more value, infinitely more value, created in the image of God and redeemed for His purposes. And if God will feed the birds, God will certainly feed you. No doubt. Therefore, Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Now, often we worry, don't we? Oh, God, I'm not going to have what I need. And when we do that, what are we doing? We're looking back on ourselves. And ultimately, what we're saying is, God, I'm not going to be able to provide. And that's a good place to be, isn't it? Because that's right where you need to be to pray this prayer. God, I'm not going to be able to provide. And I'm needing You. And so it's because of who we are asking. Our Father in heaven who knows and is pleased to give good gifts to His people. But also because of God's past actions. Think about what God has done. Think about Israel's experience in the wilderness. We'll talk about this some more, Lord willing, tonight. But think about their experience in the wilderness recorded for us in Exodus chapter 16. You don't have to turn there, but listen to these words. Exodus chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. After this, bread from heaven came down. The children of Israel, when they saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. Wow. Do you think God knew exactly what each and every household in the wilderness needed? Absolutely. Did God provide to the omer what they needed? Absolutely. So there's God's faithfulness to His people in the wilderness. There's God's faithfulness to David in exile. Remember that David was in exile? I'm sure there were many days where David did not know where he was going to eat or what he was going to eat the next day. Remember, he goes to Nob. Me, my men and I are hungry. What do you have? Well, we only have the showbread. We're replacing the showbread. David says, give it to me. Ahimelech says, well, hold on. Have at least you kept yourself, you and your men, from women. Yes, okay. Give it to me. We're hungry. Jesus would later use that to teach on the truth of the Sabbath and doing good. But there, God provided for David. He also provided through Ziba, although Ziba was actually an enemy of David. God provided to David through his enemies. God provided to David through Barzillai, as Barzillai brought food to him. So much so that listen to what David could say in Psalm 37, verse 25. I have been young and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. David had a testimony. He knew that God would provide. The disciples have just had this experience. We looked at this in Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 12 and going through verse 17. Remember, they're out and Jesus has been teaching and it's late. And the disciples say, let's send them away because they need to go find something to eat. And here's what Jesus says, you feed them. You feed them. Lord, what do you mean we feed them? We have nothing. God says, you have everything. Because I am here with you. And what does He do? He feeds them through a miraculous production of bread and fish. So much so that we read that they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. It's interesting. Look at the abundance here. Now, in the Old Testament, the manna was provided, and everybody had just enough. But here there was an abundance. There was leftovers. So abundant is God to His people. But you may say, well, yes, this happened to Israel in the wilderness, but I wasn't there. Yes, this happened to David, but I wasn't there. Yes, this happened to the disciples, but I wasn't there. That's true. But we have an experience of God's provision ourselves in the cross. Look with me at verse 32 of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32 grounds our expectation of God and His provision in the cross. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? It's written in such a way that the expected answer is there's no way that He cannot give us all things. It's an argument from the greater to the lesser. If He has given us the greatest gift and was willing to do so, the Savior on a cross, then won't He give us everything else? Yes, He will. He will. And so we can pray this prayer, trusting in God's strength, with a confidence that comes from the fact that this is God who is our Father, who knows what we need. A confidence that comes from the fact that God in His past actions has proven Himself time and time again as a faithful God. Even giving His own Son whom He did not spare. And He who gave His own Son, how will He not give us all things? And so we can come with that confidence, trusting in God's strength. But then notice back in Luke chapter 11 and verse 3, we're told to pray, "Give us day by day our daily bread." Day by day, our daily bread. Day by day, we are to be trusting continually. Yes, we are to be confident, but we are to be trusting continually in God's strength. Day by day, each and every day. This is not a prayer that you pray and you say, "I prayed it, God, great, now provide." But God says, "Come back. Come back." So we are praying this daily. It means that we must, as God's people, have a daily, moment by moment, awareness of our need of God. And that we must come to Him and seek Him for all things. And we're also praying, "Day by day, give us our daily bread." But we're not praying, "God, give us everything that we need for tomorrow, for that will come when we ask for it tomorrow." But we're praying, "God, give us just what we need today." And included in this prayer is an acknowledgement or an understanding that we need to be content with what God gives us this day. You see, many people are never content because they're focused on tomorrow. Many people never truly, as it were, live today because they're not here. They're always worried about tomorrow. I've said this often to people who worry about tomorrow. Listen, there's only one thing that will happen tomorrow. And when you worry, you create many different scenarios, of which one may come to pass, but chances are none of them will. And so you're creating multiple scenarios that will never come to pass and thinking about them. What a waste of your time. Now trust in God today that He will provide your daily bread, exactly what you need. Paul understood this. 1 Timothy 6:8, "Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." But here's a question. If God knows what we need, which He does, and if God desires to give it to us, He does, then why? Why doesn't He simply tell us, "I will provide for you all of the days of your life. You don't have to worry about coming to Me. You don't have to worry about coming back to the well. I will provide." Well, I think there are two reasons. And the first is that God our Father loves to hear from His children. He does. You know, my children, I know they need breakfast. See, during the school year, I get up and I get them all ready for school. My wife teaches. She goes off. She's getting the classroom prepared and I get them up. And I know they need breakfast. And I could certainly just set it all out and be ready. But I tell you what, I love to hear this, "Daddy, can I have some cereal?" I'm going to provide it for them. I know they need it, but I love to hear it. Because it involves a relationship. "Daddy, can I have this? Can I have that, please?" And second, God our Father knows that if we forget our need, which we'd be tempted to do if we didn't have to continually ask for it, that it will not be too long before we forget our God. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And see, God knows that if we forget our need, we will be in danger of forgetting our God. Deuteronomy in chapter 8, beginning in verse 11, it's a warning given to the people of God as they were preparing to cross over the Jordan, as they were preparing to go into the promised land, as they were preparing to enter into the blessings that God had for them. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, hear this: "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today. Lest, when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. That's the temptation, isn't it? The temptation is that in our hearts we will say, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And God says, no. What you have comes from me. And this prayer that both admits our weakness and trusts in God's strength is a prayer that humbles us. It reminds us of our great need. It brings us to our God. And it brings great joy. Psalm 146, verse 5. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, his God. Happy is he. Not who trusts in himself, not who thinks he provides for himself, but who looks and waits upon the Lord. And so we must never, never forget this truth. We are debtors to God for everything. Yes, we are debtors to God for our salvation. We are also debtors to God for everything else that we have. There is nothing that we have, whether it is our food, our clothing, our house, our talents, our job, or anything else. There's nothing that we have that does not come from God. In fact, we only have it because God has graciously provided it to us. We have it because God has graciously provided it to us. So when we ask God in this prayer, give us day by day our daily bread, we are doing two things. We're admitting how weak we are apart from Him. And that we have nothing. But then we are also looking to Him, who alone, through His strength, must provide for our every need. That's what we're praying. And we know that when we come to Him in weakness, it's a good place to be. Because in our weakness, what is most clearly seen? With the strength of our God. That's what we want to be seen, right? We want God's strength to be known, not our own. So I want to encourage you to pray, as you pray this prayer, to pray from a place of weakness. Pray from a place of weakness, but at the same time, pray from a place of confidence, not in your own ability, but in God's strength. Remember that you pray to your God and Father. Your God and Father who will provide. See, here's the reality. Not one day will go by in this life in which you do not require God to supply your every need. Not one day will go by. Not one day will go by in which God does not provide for you. But therefore, since that is true, since not a day will go by in which you do not need to ask God for provision, and not a day will go by in which God is not pleased to provide for you, not a day should go by that you do not return thanksgiving to Him. Because to do so would be rank ingratitude. And so let us receive whatever comes from our Father's loving hand. Let us receive it, being content with it, but also making sure to rejoice in it, no matter what it is that He chooses to give. Amen. Let us pray. God, we confess that we are not good at being dependent. We have, in our sinful nature, a desire for independence, even of You. And we know that that is impossible, for there is nothing that we have that did not come from You. That You are the giver of every good and perfect gift, that You cause the rain to fall on both the just and the unjust. So forgive us for our pride. Forgive us for boasting in anything but the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us to pray this prayer rightly, recognizing how weak we are, but trusting in You to provide and rejoicing in Your goodness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.